Luke chapter 14. You'll have to forgive me. I feel a little fatigued. Still coming back. There's 8 weeks after surgery, and I still don't have all my strength back. But we're going to get her back one way or the other. I hope you're doing well. Miss Margie mentioned to me her son Daryl needs our prayers. Daryl has shattered his collarbone in an accident, so he's going to have some serious surgery coming up. So please, if you would, be praying for Daryl. And God bless him. It ain't no fun going through some of that stuff. You know what I'm saying? It's always a struggle. And especially when you're hurting, going to have surgery. Bless his heart. His whole summer's done, really, if you think about it. So Luke chapter 14. I brought me plenty of water. I hope you brought you plenty of rest so you can stay awake while I'm preaching. By the way, if you go to fall asleep, I'm going to scream in your face, okay? Yeah, that's 1 hour. That'll be 2 hours, okay? Are y'all ready, Brother Scott? We got enough cassette back there that we can do a two-hour message? He's laughing. It's digital. I can go on for days. So guess what? I'm going to go on for about 3 days of preaching here. Y'all ready? No, you know, I mentioned in Sunday school, and I'm going to mention it again today, simplify. Simplify your Bible study, and I encourage you to read your Bible through 3 and 4 times a year. I encourage you to pray. Have that sweet hour of prayer every day. I encourage you to enjoy God and spend time with God that your face might shine, because this is a very dark world, and this world needs a believer to be serious about the things of God. I will have to say that I believe that 99.9% of Christianity is not serious about the things of God. We're not serious about our Bible study. We're not serious about our prayer life. Yesterday we had a chance to help a brother, and I hope today we can help some more brothers and sisters in their... this is a battle. Every day is a battle. Every day is part of the war. But remember, Jesus Christ has got victory in that battle, and he's got victory in that war. And... y'all, we need God more than he needs us. Luke chapter 14, look at verse number 12. Luke 14, verse 12. Then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors. Boy, that's kind of contrary to what we do, isn't it? We call all those that we think are important. We call all those who might make us more money or better or talk about us in a great light. And we try to feed our arrogance a lot of times. We feed our greed. We feed our flesh. Watch what he says here in verse 13. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. I wonder what that means. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Father, this morning, help us, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Giving to the have-nots. Now, we have a goodwill, and we have rescue missions, and we have all this, and we're glad of those things because, well, that thinks that that takes us off our hands and we can go on and do other things and whatnot. You know, there's a lot of have-nots that live around you. There's a lot of have-nots that live in your home. Now, Sister Rachel, I didn't say knotheads, just have-nots. I already know you got knotheads that live in your house. But it's the have-nots. Now, I struggle giving to those on a street corner. And the reason why I do is because there's been times in my life where Jamie and I have had to, each one of us, work 2 and 3 jobs. You ever been there? Yeah. And where I struggle is, I know better. From the things that I know about, there was a certain group here that had a place where they were housing everyone, and then they would drop them off at all the different street corners, take in the change, and that kind of thing, and it was a big fiasco. Well, I'm sure that that's not the only time it's going on, and I bet you right now it's going on. So I have a hard time with that. I have a hard time when a gentleman, for example, in one particular case, pulled up to the church in his van with his ladder on top and it looked like he was somewhat of a construction, and he smells like a brewery, asking me for gas money. Pastor, I just need maybe $10, $20 to put fuel in my van. Well, brother, I can't tell you what I was thinking, but he already had enough fuel inside of him. He can make that van go, if you get what I mean. I'm sorry, I can't give to you. Well, why? Instead of drinking the alcohol, you probably should have put it in your gas. Oh, you're one of them. No, you're one of them. I have a hard time giving in when people can work hard. I have no problem helping those that cannot help themselves. And God, by the way, we got this wrong. God helps those who help themselves. God helps them that can't help themselves. That's why you're saved by the Lord Jesus, because you can't do it. I have no problem helping them. I miss driving the short bus. You know, the bus that Don would have ridden on. The bus that Jamie would have ridden on, for sure. And Brother Ray, God forbid he had to ride on one. We'd have had to tie him into the seat. The short bus. I miss the short bus. I miss David sitting back there and, hey, Mentor David. Yes, sir. Well, we're about to school. We're almost there, buddy. Just saying, he was deaf. And then there was another one behind him who was very autistic. Mr. Butterford, teacher, where are we going today? To school, buddy. We're going to school. And that one high-functioning autistic young man that had his hands shaking and, I love you, bus driver. Those are the ones that we help. You know what I'm finding out, though? There are those that aren't labeled this or that, that are probably more this and that than the students I used to take to school. I knew some bus drivers. I wouldn't give them the keys. I wouldn't give them the keys to the goat cart. You cannot drive a school bus with fear. We were helping some drivers out and myself and a couple of the instructors, and we were on this bus, and we had some drivers, and we were taking turns and stuff. And I was learning how this one individual that was ahead of the teaching part of it wanted to see. I just want you to see what I do. I know you're going to come up with some other things, but let me. And it was fantastic. Anyway, we got to talking back there and cutting up, and the Marcella listens back. She says, "Dave. Dave, we got to keep it down a little bit. We're in the middle of a 45-foot bus. Why? Well, y'all are being a little too noisy, and it's messing the bus driver up." And I remember looking at Marcella. I said, if she can't handle this, she can't handle a bus. Regular ed students are interesting. I think they're the animals on earth. When they stop and you pull up to a stop light, Jolly and Cedar, and they jump out the back. Oh, no. Oh yes, ma'am. Happened a number of times. Oh, my word. Absolutely. Well, unfortunately, the school system and our wise government doesn't see it that way. You can't drive a school bus with fear in your heart. That's why I like doing special needs. Having three in wheelchairs, have no problem using it and putting it in there and getting them all buckled up, and they touch you to show their love and appreciation for them. But the world portrays themselves as to be these great models of grace and mercy and love, and they're not. A couple of the parents I enjoyed having conversations with, and I tried to pastor them. Tried to be a help to them. Most of the world pretends to give to the have-nots, but don't. If the Catholic Church was so interested in its missions and taking care of people, then why would you have to build $10 and $20 million buildings if the celebrities that are on TV that y'all are giving to, and I hope there's nobody in here that stupid, but if the celebrities gave one-tenth of what they had, we wouldn't have world hunger. The buildings and the mausoleums that I see in these great big Catholic churches or Presbyterian churches or Lutheran churches, there's a monstrosity out by the golf course there at Lutheran church. And I'm thinking, what would happen if we were a little more modest in our buildings, more modest in our play equipment outside for the kids? What would happen if we were more modest? And you know, I grew up with a gravel parking lot. What would happen if we took those monies and modestly built, then took those monies and helped the have-nots? What would happen? I've seen it amongst camp meetings and revivals and churches where these big churches will have the big wig preachers come in. But then that one preacher that's got very little or this or that, they'd never call on him to preach. There was one time, and I was with Brother Ralph Coleman, and we were out in Carolina. And I remember the pastor there, they called him the weeping preacher. Some of y'all would probably get irritated at it. But I'd rather sit and listen to a weeping preacher than some highfalutin preacher that had these big words. That man would preach and cry through his messages, begging people to get right and stop thinking they're okay with God. To love the Lord Jesus with all their heart rather than a tenth of their heart. Boy, I remember he preached one message and it was nothing but, wow. Brother Ralph had a fellow there at Perry, Brother Van Dyke. You remember Brother Van Dyke? Had the one boy that was special needs, and Brother Van Dyke had gone through a will situation with his family, and he started preaching on it. I mean, there wasn't a dry eye in the house of how good God is to us. He had a church of about 12, but he was a great preacher. And I remember Brother Ralph telling the congregation, there's 400 or 500 of us in the room, and he says, y'all don't know him, but I've met him while I was preaching in a meeting. Dear man of God. Now, I remember Brother Ralph specifically saying, many of y'all wouldn't have him in there because he doesn't pastor a church of but about 12 people. Man, did he help me. We oftentimes forget about the have-nots. We, amongst preachers, if a man doesn't completely agree with you, they cast you aside. It happens. I made mention to you that for many years, the church did not have Baptist in the name. And I didn't come to Walker Memorial Bible Church to put Baptist in the name. I didn't. I came to Walker Memorial Bible because God said go. And Brother Mike Patterson, my friend, prayed with me. We prayed over a period of time and God opened the door 18 years ago. There are days when it's zero outside that I question God's decisions. Come on, amen. You know what I mean. Not a one of us likes it below 30. We really don't. Even youpers have struggles after it gets below 30. Let's just be honest, Brother Ray. It'll make you a Wolverine fan. Above 50, it starts getting warm, I know, but you'll get used to it. There's a lot of fellers that didn't have nothing to do with me. We went and preached at a BBBBB meeting, and I told you about it, and men left, and men didn't come there. But we had about 8 from the church that went, 7 from the church that went with me, and got to meet Brother Hose up there at Lake Baptist. He's retired the last couple of years. He's a good young man up there that's taken to church. And this church has been a Baptist church since the beginning of it. It has. What makes you a Baptist church? Number one, Jesus is the Savior. Amen. Okay? God is God and you are not. Right. Salvation is by grace through faith and that not of ourselves. Right. Baptism is an identifier. We have the Lord's Supper here. We teach salvation by grace, as I said. We teach eternal security. That is the foundation of what a Baptist church is. See, the Baptists were a people. They believed different. They didn't worship a pope. They weren't a part of associations. It was independent. And a great deal, matter of fact, non-denominational. What? See, the definition of non-denominational has been messed with, been skewed, been lied about. Southern Baptist, that's a denomination. Catholicism is a denomination. Lutheranism is a denomination. Pentecostal is a denomination. We're not. We're an independent church. We put Baptists in the church in August of 2012. Redid our constitution. Didn't have to redo it a whole lot. Just had to put a few things in there in our constitution because we don't believe in same-sex marriage. We don't believe in all that transgender, satanic garbage. So we had to protect ourselves as a church who has an LLC. We are incorporated. We're an incorporated nonprofit church, 503C. And you have to protect yourself. Otherwise, the devil will make sure. But and even then, with the court system we have today, we all know how wonderfully righteous our court system is. By the way, it's only by the grace of God that our doors are open. Amen. You do understand that. So with that in mind, the world does not portray themselves as good as they should about being lovers of the have-nots. Pray for Sister Catherine. She could use some work this summer. She's done here shortly with the college. A few summers, she was telling me, last summer she said I wouldn't be working, and generally she had some work. You know, to me, that's a have-not. Church family, we get a chance, let's put some food together for her. Miss Catherine said that she doesn't mind mac and cheese. And you know, you can make tuna mac, hot dog mac, burger mac, bacon mac. There's all kind of things you can do with some mac and mac and mac. What's that, taco mac? Oh, look out now. And she made a pecan pie. I like that, pecan. That was so funny. One of our own's in struggles. Miss Dawn's in struggles. Miss Bensie's been. We've all been there. The world does not take care of the have-nots according to the Scriptures. Now, there's a big word that's used here, and I want to go over this because Sister Dawn's in the service and she has trouble with $25 words. Look with me at the end of verse 12. And it says, and a recompense be made. Then he mentions over here in verse 14, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. So just in reading there, you should get the definition of the word recompense. For example, and recompense be made thee. So when you ask the rich folks come back and eat dinner, then they're going to reciprocate. Or what they're going to do is they'll have you over for dinner. A lot of times, and I've been in these meetings, and I'm telling you, 99%, Brother Josh, of the camp meetings I've been in, most of them, the preacher would have them in to put jingle in their buddy's pocket. Then their buddies would have them to their meetings to put jingle in their pocket. Nowhere near was the message from the Holy Spirit of God for the people. A lot of those preachers wouldn't call me back. Now, I'll just do it now even. You'll like this. So Jamie and I'd sit. We would sit close to the front if I knew I was preaching. I might be out to the edge or something. And when I'd get up, I'd do this. They didn't like that. You better have a suit coat when you preach in my pulpit. That's what I want men to say. And then there was times I had to do this because I had a fat neck at the time. And when you got a fat neck and a big guy in a little shirt, big guy in a little coat, you remember that. So I'd have to unbutton this, and if I was having any kind of voice problems, which I know you can't believe I have them, but I do, and then I'd get my Bible, and I'd just come on down to the people. I'd tell them, all right, all those preachers have been preaching to all the preachers. Now, let me help you with something. I have one pastor, he's mad. I said, yeah, that's exactly what's happening. Y'all are preaching down to the people and across their heads, but you ain't helping them with anything. Amen. And that's what happens in a lot of these churches. Yep. Amen. By the way, the inner circle here at the Walker Bible Baptist Church is all y'all. Yep. Y'all understand that? Yep. There's no two or three that are more important than the other 12 or 15 or 20. Yep.
Me and Sister Dawn's important.
Oh my God.
Just don't tell her because her head will swell. Are y'all understanding where I'm at?
Yeah.
What happened with this recompense, they was calling each other up, having each other for dinner, so that then they would get invited and go to dinner. That's what was happening. This idea of recompense is to pay back. That's why he mentions in verse 14, "And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee." Your problem and my problem is, it's not that we don't want to give, but we stop when it costs us something. Did you hear what I just said? You understand what I just said? I'll give up until then, but I ain't giving no more. Now, I do realize you need to take care of you and your home. I have no problem with that. Brother Ray would be an infidel if he didn't take care of his wife and kids. That's why I think all giving, whether it be financial or time and energy or whatever that giving is within that household, hey, y'all, preacher said he needs this. We're going to go down there and help him with it. Hey, church family, Miss Catherine's going to be without. We need to maybe put some food and stuff together for her. All right? Just no chili beans. I don't want to hear about an explosion down there at her house, all right? I'm just kidding, Miss Catherine. I guess, Lord forgive me and bless all the pygmies in South America. Are y'all with me on this? You know, and I'm not talking about just hot dogs and mac and cheese. She might need some bread, some lunch meat. Maybe she needs to go buy her a butt. I mean a pork butt. Or toilet paper, paper towel, Q-tips. Definitely, probably deodorant. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I wonder what shampoo she needs. What was happening in this circle, and the Lord Jesus is getting on him here. He said, you need to be giving to the have-nots, not just to the ones that have. Beloved, do you have an agenda? These people that were giving to the haves, to the elite, if you want to use that term. I mean, you better pay your taxes, but why should I pay my taxes? Somebody's already got. And how does Nancy Pelosi get $240 million monies in her bank accounts on $120,000 a year? If you don't think that she's not corrupt, then you got your head in the sand. These people are corrupt. Why should we give it to them? Well, Pastor, if we don't, we'll go to jail. You're right. So pay your taxes. Now, if they don't pay their taxes, then they don't go to jail. Okay, and they call that a loophole.
Well, those rich people, they got loopholes.
I like what President Trump said to Hillary Clinton in that first debate. Well, your friends, and especially you, are using the same laws that I'm using. You know why they write those quote-unquote loopholes in? You know why? So they take your money, suck you dry, but they put it in their pocket. You do understand that. I hope you understand that. They're finding corruption everywhere. Beloved, do you have an agenda? Because that's what happens. The ones that give to the haves, they have an agenda. I want to be. And by the way, moms and dads, this will happen to you, grandma and grandparents. I see it in my grandkids on the other side. We're the boring grandparents. Need shoes and socks? I'll go buy them. Need some new underwear? That's fine. Give what they need, because if you buy them a toy, it's going to be gone in less than a year. But these haves and these have-nots, the agenda is to be grandma of the year. The agenda is I want Ray Mills to think I'm the most awesome man on earth. Right, but isn't that the way they do? I've been around preachers. Had one young man come up to me. He says, man, God's given me a message. And we're at a meeting in Owenton, Kentucky. Calvary Baptist Church there. And he comes up to me and Pastor Dave, I got a message to preach. Oh, can God? I said, oh, and what are your points? He gave me his points. I said, I don't know why you're telling me this, because I don't have any control of who preaches and doesn't preach. I know, but maybe you can put it in a good word edgewise. I said, why don't you pray and ask the Holy Spirit to do that? And by the way, the message you just told me was preached. This is like, this is 2008, 2009. So that message was preached in 1973 at Tabernacle Baptist Church, Greenville, South Carolina. It was? I said, yeah, you stole it off of a cassette tape probably. Jamie knows she was standing there. Then you get into other places, and I had this. He's a quote unquote famous evangelist, Jason Kendrick. We were at a meeting down south of here, of maybe in the Hillsdale area or something. We first came here, and I'd met him down in Perry, Florida, and some other places. I was just there to be there. I was looking forward to hearing him preach, and he's a good preacher, but he's arrogant. We were kind of milling around before service, and he grabbed my arm. He says, "Hey, when you go off to meetings, do they ask you to preach and stuff?" I said, "Every now and then they do. Kind of depends on what they want to hear and not hear." He says, "Boy, I understand that." So how do you get them to preach you? And I looked at Jason. I said, "Jason, it don't matter whether you and I preach. I want the man of God that God's called for that hour to come preach. I want a man that's been touched to God and ordained to God to be there. I don't want somebody to stand up there to stir up the wrong spirit or whatnot. It ain't about our egos. It's not about our agendas." That's why the Lord Jesus was so pleased with the widow and her two mites. Because these fellas are coming along with their horns. What agenda do you have? Do you want people to see how wonderful you are? The Bible tells me that I ought to be more concerned about what God thinks than what man thinks. I think that's a pretty good biblical principle. I know that I'm extremely handsome. I understand that. I know that I'm an extremely massive, muscular man. I know that. And you know what I don't understand, though? Why do you say to Jamie, "How is she doing?" She lives with me. You know how she's doing. Now stop it. You're not funny. You know, many will give to get rather than to give to serve. Are you one of those? You giving to the have-nots or a help. Many people have been in the rescue missions, and I love the rescue missions. Our rescue mission has gone the wrong direction, and they have been for years. This church helped start the rescue mission in the early 1900s. This church has ordained two of their men that took over that ministry over the years. This church has had a massive footprint that God allowed for that rescue mission downtown here in Lansing, Michigan. But I can't have anything to do with them anymore. Wrong Bible. Some of their doctrines changed. They begin to add in the devilish transgender. There's a lot of things going on, and I cannot, with good conscience, help them serve down there anymore. Can't. They've gone the wrong direction. They have separated themselves from God rather than to God. They have an agenda. I remember Mark Chris telling me when they changed the Bibles down there about 2010-ish, 2009-ish, Pastor Grimwood and I, a number of other pastors, had sent him a letter telling him it was the wrong direction. And he told us that they changed the Bibles because they got a large donation given to them with one stipulation. They had to go with the English Standard Version. That's right. They were bought out. They sold out. Many today will give rather to get. Do you give to get? Or do you give to serve? The Lord Jesus mentions this. So he mentions two things here. He says, invite and give to the one who cannot pay you back. So maybe somehow you got a little extra food in your house. Maybe you know somebody that have not. I try to help my friend Chris. You pray for Chris. God's working in him. And we had him over for pizza, and we were working on the golf cart, putting lights on it. And then there's been times we've helped him with his truck. And I said, "Chris, come on, let's get a sandwich." He doesn't have a whole lot. Maybe there's somebody in your life that doesn't have a whole lot. There's been times when I tried to be a help to those who, you know, gas, just having enough money for gas. Having a loaf of bread. By the way, if you need some bread, let me know. We'll run down to the Dale Bread Store. That's a great store to go to. Aunt Millie's down there. I'll get you down there, and we'll go get some bread. And they got some of them Their Little Debbie cakes are no good. Some off-brand, okay? Fruit pies. It's got fruit in it. It's got to be good for you. Right? Red dye number 74 and 32. It'll turn. Nah, I can't go there. Hey, how about invite and give the ones who can't pay you back? We are so silly. Now, by the way, you're gonna sit there right now and say, "Oh, that's not me." You might want to look in the mirror a little closer. Did you hear me? Because sometimes we have. You know what we'll do? Somebody needs in need, but we've had a problem with them, and we won't help them because we got some grudge or some problem with them. I have some people I have some serious problems with. But I guarantee you one thing, I'm going to do my best to help them when they're in need. I have to. Why? This is what the Lord's trying to teach here. He says, invite the crippled. Can the crippled help do the dishes? Some of them can't. Most of them can't. How about the crippled? Will they bring in that dessert? How about the poor? You understand, I like bread pudding and like some of those other things you can make with bread. Stuffing like mom makes. There's a lot of people who can't afford the ingredients to make that. By the way, you should make it from scratch. If it comes from a box, leave it at the house, okay? But if all you have is from the box, then I'll eat it and tell you it tastes good. And I will lie to your face, and then I'll ask God to forgive me. I'm just kidding. You know, you can take stovetop stuffing and add some gravy to it, and I can even make that taste good. Beloved, are you with me? We don't invite the poor. Well, what am I going to get from them? You have an agenda at that point. I'm going to invite Caden. He doesn't have a job. He doesn't have no money. But I'm going to invite him so that he'll tell everybody what a wonderful man I am. But you follow me? We sometimes have an agenda to gain some kind of position. Remember before this, we were talking about how that they would run for the most important seat at dinner time. They'd eat up all the deviled eggs before we got in line to get any. There's no more mashed taters. There's no more prime rib roast, amen, because the other people had gotten ahead of us and they done ate it all. Done ate it all, not done it. Did I say done it? I probably said done it. How about the blind? Now, y'all, I don't think you want a blind person serving you water, tea, milk, coffee. All right? I'm not telling you that a blind person can't serve drink. But you might be a little careful in their pouring abilities. You know, a lot of times we don't have blind folk come around. How about deaf folk? How am I going to communicate with them? Figure it out! You'd be surprised what sweet fellowship you have with a deaf person. Can a deaf person do anything for you? Well, I'm hoping you're not inviting them so they can. Have to do something. Hey, how about the forgotten? I'm encouraged by the stories that I hear when individuals find some of our veterans on the street. They take them a sandwich, take them something to drink. I'm encouraged. I've heard of stories where they would come in, and all they had was money for a cup of coffee, and others know who they are, and then walk up to the waitress and say, "Would you go ahead and give him some sausage and some bacon and put it on my bill?" That's giving to serve. That's not giving to get. Well, beloved, today, give to the have-nots. I will say again, once again, you've heard me say this before, it's better to be on the giving end than on the needing end. I understand that. But you know what? If you want to learn how to give and serve, you got to be on the needing end so that you'll understand what it's like to walk in the steps of that individual on the needing end. I mean, you never know what somebody's going through. Do you walk in their shoes? Isn't that what we say? We've been on the needing end. I've told you a story. You're probably tired of hearing that story. February 1992, Mom, Paul Conrad. Like Mom, Paul Kettle. I like that. Mom, Paul Conrad pulled up with an 8-foot bed full of food from the church. I've told you how we had cans of salmon and cans of tuna in all the closets, boxes. Oh, yeah, under the bed. I don't remember where all else, but in every room of the house, that little trailer we had. We was trailer trash. I've told you that one. I don't mind being trailer trash, tell you the truth, because that trailer kept the rain off of us. It kept the heat off of us. It kept the bugs off of us. Definitely kept the geckos out of there. Right, baby? I've been on an eating end, and I love being give to. Oh, I thank God for it, but I tell you right now, I like it when God uses me to give. Yeah. Amen. Well, two things and we're done. Come with me to Luke chapter 6. Don't you go giving for because you got an agenda to be the most wonderful human on earth. You're not going to be on no magazine cover as man of the year or woman of the year. Look at Luke 6 and verse number 38. If you haven't memorized this one, you should. Give, and it shall be given unto thee. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over. Do you see that? Shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye made, withal, it shall be measured to you again. Go ahead and give, and then get ready. You'd be surprised. My prayer is always as you give to help Jamie and I, Lord, would you help him a millionfold? There's every one of your every one of y'all are prayed for. God, would you give back to him? Give back to him. I can't, Lord. I can't recompense your giving spirit. I can't pay it back. I can't give it to you back. Matter of fact, you get to a point where if you give, don't expect anything in return. There ought to be no strings attached to your giving. So you know what I say? Give! And God will take care of you.
That's right. Amen.
I got a situation right now. And Jamie knows it's we're praying about what do I do? How do I do this? God, how are you going to fix this? And a lot of times we get in those situations where we ought to just get back as little kids and say, all right, Daddy, how are you going to do this one? And then get like that little excited kid can't wait to see what daddy's going to do. What are you going to do? How are you going to do this? So give. God will take care of you. By the way, did you know that verse is in the Bible every day you wake up and every day you take a nap?
Yeah.
Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. Come over with Proverbs chapter 3 verse 28. So we give. God will take care of you. Just go ahead and do it. God will take care of you. But come over here to Proverbs chapter 3 and I'm done. I'll shut up. Proverbs chapter 3. Look at verse number 28. I've made reference to this many, many times. I want to see if you recognize it or not. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 28. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again. And tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee. One of the things that I'm trying to do as a pastor is God's brought Brother Josh here. Been here over five years now.
Wow.
I know, like the booger on the end of my finger. I can't get rid of him.
He's not new no more.
No, he ain't no new. He family. And I can't believe he stuck around for 5 years, to tell you the truth. I think he might be insane. We might need to get him a helmet and a padded room. No, he and I have been praying a lot for the Wolverine fans in our midst. That's what it is. He sees it as a ministry. One of the things I like to do, and I'm thankful to everyone that helps out in this, eggs are the protein that he can eat and eat a lot of. And I told him a few years ago when he first come here, brother, we're going to eat. God will take care of us. And as your friend and as your brother, I'll make sure you got eggs. Again, that's what he can do. Do you know of other people that have those needs? And that we could help? So in Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 28, The problem here that God's trying to fix is you got a neighbor come over and says they need some eggs, and you just got a fresh dozen in there, and you know how expensive they are. And they said, hey, could we have 6 eggs? We're out of eggs. By the way, that's what used to happen before America got stupid. Okay? And they'd come over and, hey, I need 3 eggs. And he'd say, well, you don't understand. I just got a dozen eggs, and they're $10 a dozen, and I can't afford it. Well, I tell you what. Come back tomorrow, and I'll see if I have some more for you. No, what's he saying there? You need eggs? Come on, man. I'll go get some eggs. I think I got some over there. I think I can give you a dozen right now, and I'll go tomorrow, and we'll see if we can't get another dozen. That's what he's trying to teach us here. Give to the have-nots. You give because God's going to take care of you, but now give now, not tomorrow. Not tomorrow. And unless you got a busy day and you got to go to the store. So I can understand where it might be. Hey, look, Donnie, it's going to be in the morning before I can come see you a minute. Okay? It might be that. I don't know. But I also know a lot of times we can give now and we don't. The Lord Jesus is trying to get us to understand that we ought to give to the have-nots.
That's right.
Rather than giving in such a manner that we're seen of men. Let's go back to the widow and her two mites and I'm done. The Bible says that only the Lord Jesus noticed it. His disciples didn't notice it. They were looking at all the fanfare that was going on. They were looking at all the celebration because that rich dude over there put rich stuff in there. That rich dude over there. The Lord Jesus Christ said that she gave the most of anybody. With that in mind, if you're going to give, you don't give to try to outgive each other. But I dare you to outgive God. Pastor, wait a minute. You just said don't give to outgive each other. And that becomes it becomes a board game. Who's better than the next person? And that does nothing but feed arrogance. But my pastor used to tell me, David, outgive God. I've tried. And you can't do it. So friends, I think the biggest lesson to get from today is be a giver in order to serve, not a giver to be seen. Father, help us with this passage. This is a tough one on the flesh. And I'd ask you, Lord, that you'd be glorified in it. But teach us these lessons, please, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, let's stand to our feet. God's dealing with your heart this morning. Would you come? Every head bowed and every eye closed, if God's working in your heart, you come on. Lord, help me be a giver. Lord, help me to be soft and listening to the Holy Spirit in such a manner that when I need to give, I give. When I have it to give, to give it now. And when I have it to give to serve. Giving to the have-nots. God's in with your heart. You come on. God's in with your heart. You come on. No one comes the next few moments with an invitation.